daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 Podcast. It is October. Happy October, everybody. It is October 1st, 2021 here on this Friday. It is a preview picks Friday. We've got five Big 12 games we're going to break down and pick on today's show. And then we've got our Saturday seven games outside the Big 12 Conference that I believe will be most impactful on the college football season. A whole lot to choose from this week. It's a great week in the Big 12 Conference. It's a great week in a bunch of other conferences. This is the best full slate of college football that we've had so far this year. And it really starts to feel like, you know, these games are starting to mean a bit more. Non-conference, obviously, those are fun, a lot of cool matchups, but these games really begin to take on new meaning as we move in to the conference schedule. A couple things before we really get going on today's show. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at JoshNeighbors_ as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, go check us out on the other platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you guys get your podcasts. You guys can do that. If you can't watch the show, and if you're watching the show on, if you're not watching the show and you're listening, if you ever want to watch the show, you can find us on YouTube. Just search Locked On Big 12. Subscribe to the channel. Leave comments, reviews. We love that stuff. It's really fun to interact with you all as we are going. A couple other things before we really get into the previews and whatnot. I'm going to make it a point moving forward, especially after the week is over, when we do our recaps, making sure we have a little section about the incoming teams in the Big 12. They're coming into the Big 12. So we'll talk about Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU. All of those teams will get a little bit of FaceTime on this podcast. I know a lot of you have been asking for that and asking for continued coverage of the teams coming in. We're going to talk about one of them, especially this week in Cincinnati. They have a huge game with Notre Dame, but we're really going to step that up kind of as we move into October, because I know some of you guys want some coverage on that front. All right, let's get into it here. We've got our slate of five games that are going to pick and just break down against the spread, as well as just kind of breaking it down generally. We go in chronological order as the day goes. We don't really go by what the best games are. We go as a viewing menu, as a viewing day, we break down the game. So first on the docket, 11 a.m. on ABC, it is Texas 3-1 at TCU, who is 2-1. The TCU Horned Frogs are a four-point dog. This game is interesting for a variety of reasons. But first of all, TCU has won two in a row, and they've won seven of the last nine contests. And sometimes, you know, many of them actually haven't been really that close. And it's been a weird week. It's been a weird couple weeks for TCU. Obviously, SMU talking a lot of garbage, on a lot of smack, and then backing it up in that game for the Iron Skillet that past this past weekend when TCU met SMU. And TCU needs a bounce back badly, because Gary Patterson had a rough week in the media. Stephen Simcox talked about it on our roundtable episode that we had. If you have not checked that out yet, I encourage you guys to all go check that out. It was really funny talking about, you know, Gary Patterson's kind of this old grandpa. It's funny to talk about that, but also Gary Patterson can still clearly coach, and he's not acting like he's some senile old man. But we have mentioned the TCU turnaround here for a little while, and when would it come? When could TCU get themselves back on their feet? And Gary Patterson's kind of been known for that throughout his career, right? You think about the times that things kind of went down, right? They had a 4-8 season followed by a 12-1 season, 6-7 season in 2016, followed by an 11-3 season. But ever since then, 7-6, 5-7, 6-4. And it feels like for TCU, the days of a 10-11 win season are very far off, despite the fact that Gary Patterson has racked up a fair amount of 10 win seasons in his tenure, whether it be with TCU and CUSA. They got two there when he was with TCU in the Mountain West. They got six of them, I believe, actually, when he was there. And then in the Big 12, he's got three 10-plus win seasons, actually 11-plus win seasons in the Big 12 Conference. When would that come back? And the questions heading into the year were what would TCU's offense look like? Could the TCU offense produce up to the standards that we've seen their defense produce up to? And that's been flipped. Their offense has been fantastic. Zach Evans has been not a revelation. We knew he was good, but he and Kendre Miller have been the guys that we thought they could be, especially Zach Evans. You know, it feels like in terms of a talent perspective, Bijan Robinson and Zach Evans are the two most talented backs that we have in the conference. The fact that we get to see these two duel is going to be very exciting. But TCU right now is allowing somewhere in the neighborhood, I believe it's like 9 yards per attempt, 17 yards per completion. They're pretty miserable when it comes to the total defense category as well. And it's tough to calculate. I mean, they've only played 3 games. But you throw out the Duquesne game, 32 points that were scored on them by Cal, and then they got the 42 on them last week. I know one of them obviously came via defense, but also, you know, just the offensive efficiency that SMU hit them with last week. I mean, they had 3 turnovers. Besides that, it was a real struggle for TCU on the defensive side. And that's why I think this matchup it's so important for TCU, but it's also a bad matchup because Texas feels like they've got that proof of concept, right? They've got that that proof of what Steve Sarkisian is trying to do. The switch to Casey Thompson has yielded 120-plus points in the last 2 weeks that they've played. I know they played Rice, but against Rice and Tech, they scored over 120 points, which has been impressive. And Texas, you know, it's actually 128 points. TCU's allowing 5.3 yards per carry, too. And the problem with that is you've got guys in Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson. And the reason why I mentioned Roschon first, he's going for 8.7 yards per touch. Bijan's the neighborhood around the mid-sevens. So they've got a bunch of backs that are pretty effective at getting the ball and exploiting spaces. And TCU left a lot of space available last week against Texas. Sure, maybe things turn around at home, but it feels like Texas, you know, the second time on the road this year, I think they stand up, stand tall, and they get this thing done. They win by more than 4 points. I feel like TCU's defense is in a bad spot. It feels like they're not really all hands on deck right now, especially from a coaching perspective. They just seem jumbled. Now, it'd be a huge statement to come out this week and beat Texas at home and just kind of still be that thorn in the side for the Longhorns, but I don't see that happening this week. I see Texas taking care of business. We'll see what their defense can do because that's the big question. I think Texas is not going to have any problem scoring the ball in this game, but can they stop what's been a pretty consistently high-powered TCU offense, right? They scored 45 in that first game. It was in the 40s against Duquesne. They then came back in 34 points they got against Cal, and then you move forward last week, and they still had a really good week offensively against SMU. So plenty to look at there. Good quarterback battle, Max Duggan and Casey Thompson, but I think Texas comes out on top. All right, we'll keep rolling through these in a second, but first, a word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to built.com today to check out all the flavors that they have available. They are the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. If you go to built.com today, you can check out their Built Bar, their Built Boost, their Built Go, all great products. Go there today, use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off at built.com today. All right, moving on here, game number two. We got this one. Let's see, I'm going to Oklahoma and Kansas State. Next on the ledger here, 2:30 Central Time on Fox. Oklahoma's 4-0. They're the number 6 ranked team in the country. They're at Kansas State, who are 3-1 and 11.5 point dogs. Now, I've talked about this game at length because, and I think we all kind of circled this one, due to Kansas State's recent success against Oklahoma, right? They won the last 2 games. The big question here is, can OU get back on track and can Kansas State really pull this upset one more time? And if it was Skylar Thompson, I would feel really horrified if I were an Oklahoma fan. I would feel just kind of like that sinking feeling that I had in years past. But they don't have Skylar Thompson. And Will Howard got injured in last week's game. And Jaren Lewis looked okay. He had that great, you know, the kind of that great escape, the pocket collapsing, the flip, the deuce falling last second when he took it to the house, which was a really impressive kind of last second move. But this is not an offense that is built to last with inconsistent quarterback play, right? This Kansas State offense is built to be a kind of machine, not a buzzsaw, but a machine that runs at you in every single conceivable way. The way they're able to use the option game, zone runs, so, you know, stuff basically just straight downhill. They're able to use a variety of things with the variety of players they have back there. And Skylar Thompson, you know, is just had so much experience running this offense. Well, last week we saw a little bit of it, but really not enough, consistently for them to kind of claim they're good to go. I know the Nevada game was really impressive, but that game was tied in the third quarter. So it feels like their offense, it's too much of a gap to bridge here as they'll go up against what's a tremendous Oklahoma defense that they've got this year. They're good at getting to the quarterback. They're good at forcing turnovers. And I think that they'll have a lot of success doing that. On the Oklahoma side, as I always say this, go check out John Williams' coverage over at Locked On Sooners for the Oklahoma perspective. He'll have a lot for you all there, so make sure you guys check that out. But for Oklahoma, you know, can they turn the corner into the month of October the way they turned the corner last year in the month of October? That's what they really did last season to put their stamp on that season, right? That's when they got in that hot run. That's when their backs were up against the wall and they were able to make things happen. Can they do the same this season? I think they can. I think it starts in this game. I know I said it would start last week, but it feels like if they can straighten that offensive line out, if they can get any kind of run game going, if they can get Caleb Williams, once again, I'm saying this a bunch, but I keep saying it every podcast, somebody's first. I think Caleb Williams should be used in the capacity that Emory Jones was used at Florida when Kyle Trask was the quarterback. Get him in some design runs, get him outside the pocket, let him throw a little bit too, all right? And fans, don't be dumb and save you a couple good plays, keep him in the game. But once again, I do not feel comfortable putting a freshman quarterback, no matter how talented he is, behind an offensive line that is not playing well. And it seems to everything that I've heard from people who work around the team and cover the team. I work with a lot of the guys over there at SiriusXM Radio who are in the know with Oklahoma. They don't trust the offensive line. They don't trust the communication up front. The running game has not really been going. Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray have not been able to establish it on the ground so far this season. And the wide receivers have not been playing up to their potential. They've been showing kind of little spurts. But I think this is the week where they can take advantage of a Kansas State defense that's been good, but I want to see them prove it against this high-powered offense. I think Oklahoma takes it to Kansas State this week. Although 11.5, I think Oklahoma is able to take care of business. They mind their P's and Q's. It could be rocky early. It feels like OU gets off to some rough starts. We saw them get off to a rough start against Tulane. We saw them get off to a difficult start against West Virginia. But eventually, they always kind of seem to settle in. So I think Oklahoma does that in this game. And I think they're able to go on and win. I'll take them to cover. Another road team that I think is going to be able to cover this week. And it's kind of going to be a theme that I've got. I've got road teams covering in 3 of the 5 Big 12 games. All right, so there's your first two games that we've got. Here's I take a sip of my water. All right, let's turn the page here. Let's take a look at the 3 remaining games. All right, so 2:30 on ESPN2. Texas Tech 3-1, and West Virginia, who is 2-2. West Virginia are 7-point favorites in this game. Texas Tech has won this game in consecutive years. Now, we know Tyler Shuck is not going to be playing in this game with a broken collarbone. It's going to be Henry Columbia who is going to be running this offense. Really what's at stake in this game is the fact that if you lose, you can kind of kiss whatever else is your ideas, your hopes maybe of making a Big 12 championship game. You can kiss that goodbye because West Virginia now, I know they only have one loss in the conference, but they still have to play Oklahoma State. They still have to play Texas. They still have to play Iowa State. Texas Tech, they still have to play Oklahoma, still have to play Iowa State, still have to play those teams, Oklahoma State as well. So they've got a lot left on their plates. And also, don't forget, they still have to play Baylor as well. Same for West Virginia. So these teams, they have to get a win here. And I think Texas Tech keeps this game really close. The reason I think that is because West Virginia's second half offense, once again, 9 quarters of offense in second halves against Power 5 teams. They played Maryland, Virginia Tech, and Oklahoma. Obviously, they've played 6 quarters of second half football. That is, sorry, I said 9 quarters. 6 quarters of second half football against Power 5 teams. They have a total of 6 points in those 3 games in the second half. And that is really concerning. Obviously, they had a drive that would have scored last week, but that's really not the point. Ever since that nice drive that they had at the beginning of the game, things stalled for them last week. against Oklahoma, and they've had the propensity to make some big mistakes. Now, I know this Texas Tech defense is not as good, but I think because of the way that West Virginia's offense, slows down, I favor Texas Tech. Not in this game, but I think that they're going to cover. I think they're going to be able to keep this thing close. West Virginia, I want to see more Garrett Green. I like the mix. And the thing that we've kept hearing is that, wow, you know, if West Virginia had a guy that had Jared Dagey's ability in the pocket and then also Garrett Green's ability to run, they'd be in great shape. But here's the problem, folks. It's like, you know, that's a pretty good player. Jared Dagey's a decent passer, despite the fact that he makes some good mistakes, some pretty big mistakes. Garrett Green appears to be a very good runner. That would be a pretty top quarterback recruit if you had a guy who is that good of a passer and that, you know, has that much ability in the run game. So they don't have that mix, and it's hard to be consistent. I know that Jared Dagey had a bad turnover last week, and so we'll see if that persists. We'll see if that can continue, because it feels like the West Virginia, especially that offensive line, gets worse. I'm not just talking about the center play. But they seem to get worse as the game goes along. So I think that West Virginia might pull this one out. You know, the game against Maryland was close. The Virginia Tech game was close. The Oklahoma game was close. They play close games. I think West Virginia might pull this one out. I think Texas Tech is going to be able to cover that 7-point spread. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have more on these games. But first, word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the best way to get all of your sports gaming needs. Formula One, NASCAR, college football, pro football, NBA futures, MLB playoffs. The only place to get in on the action is BetOnline.ag. You go to betonline.ag today. You sign up. It's free to do. Use a promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On. And you'll get a deposit bonus as well when you sign up today at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks, the best way to play fantasy sports. You go there today. It's basically daily fantasy. They give you a line, try to go up against it. They have it for college football, pro football. They got some great ones in the Big 12. They'll have Spencer Rattler passing touchdowns, Spencer Rattler interceptions, Jared Dagey fumbles, number of field goals made, all kinds of stuff available right now at Prize Picks. Go check that out. Use the promo code Locked On there as well. Get a deposit bonus at Prize Picks today. All right, two more games to get to in the Big 12 Conference. This one's at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. It is Baylor and Oklahoma State, the only battle of ranked teams in the conference this week. Baylor coming in as an underdog in this game. Oklahoma State, 3.5-point favorites. You know, the streak in this one that's been a back-and-forth series the last couple of years. Oklahoma State really thumped Baylor last year in Waco. We'll see if they can get some revenge, that being Baylor. It's two of the three remaining unbeaten teams in the Big 12 Conference. So after this game, you know, barring a Oklahoma win, there will be only two left, and one of them will be the winner of this game. Now, it's interesting. Baylor got their first win against a ranked opponent since 2015 last week against Iowa State. And also, they're looking for their first season with two wins against ranked opponents since 2015 as well. Oklahoma State is looking for their first 5-0 start since 2015. So a bit of history, a bit of a half-decade-long history here, potentially in the making for one of these two teams. One of those things will become true. Either Baylor will get two wins against ranked opponents in a season, or Oklahoma State is going to start at 5-0. Both of these teams stop the run well. Both of these teams run the football very well. Now, last week, I thought Baylor's offense was pretty efficient. But that being said, they did need the special teams to come into play. I don't think Oklahoma State special teams are going to be as bad as Iowa State special teams were last week. So I'm expecting Treston Ebner not to get many chances to take balls back. I do think that a chance that this Oklahoma State defense has a bit of an issue at some point, how efficient this offense is, has been so good so far this year on the ground. Garrett has taken care of the ball, but there's one thing that they do really, really well: get to the quarterback. It's a team that's gotten to the quarterback 14 times so far this season in four games. They really do a great job of putting the pressure on other quarterbacks. I want to see what Gary Bohannon does against that pressure. I do think Oklahoma State's going to be able to get some. I think also Oklahoma State, it's important for them to get a sustained lead, get up 10-0, 13-0, if possible. Try to keep Baylor from playing from behind, because it feels like if they get ahead, they're really good at holding on to the ball, making the most of your mistakes that you make, and then squeezing the life out of games, but really kind of making you get the most out of your opportunities, right? That last week, they forced that turnover against Iowa State that basically made, you know, and got the field goal. It basically made, okay, Iowa State, you have to go down the field and score a touchdown, and you have to get a two-point conversion. What Iowa State do? Got a touchdown, but not the two. They just have a way of putting you in advantageous situations for them, right? You're going to be at a disadvantage with the way sometimes Baylor is able to play. So I think Oklahoma State taking care of the football and making sure you're the ones on schedule, not making the mistakes. I know it's kind of easy to say that, hey, it could be Baylor doing that, but I do think Oklahoma State is going to take care of business at home, that environment. We saw what it did for them last week. Let's see if they can sustain that offense throughout an entire game. But I'm going to roll with the Oklahoma State Cowboys here. I'm going to lay the 3.5. I still think it's another one of those close games. I think Oklahoma State is able to take care of business at home and get to 5-0. And if Baylor were able to win this game, I mean, I'm not sure what else you could say at this point about Dave Aranda, the job that he's done, if they're able to get this one done. But I think Oklahoma State, you know, led by that defense with Colby Harvell-Peel and Malcolm Rodriguez, two guys that just, you know, are stud caliber players. Not to mention other guys that got on the defense as well. And then offense, we're seeing the emergence of a Tate Martin. Obviously, Jalen Warren is going to be a weapon for them. And then Spencer Sanders had the best game of the season. And so the offensive line, let's see if they can replicate that again at the point of attack this week. I like Oklahoma State. Final one here in the Big 12, 6 o'clock, FS1, 1-3 Kansas, 2-2 Iowa State, 34.5-point favorites. I would hate to be Kansas this week. They're going to be on the other end of an absolute steamrolling from Iowa State. And their defense, Iowa State, has been fantastic this year. One of three defenses in the country that's allowing less than 4 yards per play. Think about, oh, they gave up, you know, 31 points last week. I mean, look at the game. Sure, they had some bad moments, but the kickoff return and then the second punt return, about the field goal, really was the difference. If you take those out, it's only 21 points. They're able to go ahead and they're able to win that game. And I really think Iowa State is going to look at this game this week. I know it's Kansas, and I know it feels like maybe some of you know what's ahead of them now is like the opportunities have kind of dwindled. But this group, I think, for their own personal pride, for, you know, they're just too well coached, or too talented, too good of a team to keep playing like this. It's going to be a get right game, and I feel bad for Jason Bean in Kansas. I'm not even sure they're going to score like 10 points in this game. I think Kansas State's going to take it to them. I would lay the 34.5, and I would go in that direction. All right, now we've got our Saturday seven games outside the conference. I'm gonna run through the thing of the biggest impact. The first game, Friday night game, so not a, you know, it's a Saturday 6 plus a 1 on a Friday. Number 5 Iowa, 3.5-point favorites at undefeated Maryland. Huge matchup here. I think Maryland's able to get this one done. They've got a great receiving core. I know Iowa's secondary is always really good, but I think Maryland's able to pull an upset here and get it done. Arkansas at Georgia tomorrow at noon. Arkansas, 17.5-point favorites. I think Georgia covers, and I think they beat Arkansas down. I feel bad for Arkansas because KJ Jefferson's not at 100%. If they lose this game, and they lose it pretty badly, not indication of, you know, like, we shouldn't stop being high on Arkansas. They've done an excellent job so far this season. Georgia's an absolute machine, it looks like, so far. So I would take Georgia minus 17.5 there. Wisconsin and Michigan. Michigan, 2-point favorites in this game. Wisconsin has been close to winning a couple games, and then their offense just continually gives it away. Their offense is not good at finishing, not very good at executing. I don't think it's wrong here to take Michigan plus the two on the road. I think it's a pretty good spot for them, so I like them there. Another road team I like is Cincinnati giving 2 at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is just – they've won games this year, but really, like, the only time they have not had a 60-minute – really strong performance, I feel like, yet. You know, last week, the second half, they were able to get it done and kind of make that score line look a lot closer than the game, or a lot further, the game actually was. But Notre Dame, I think this is where their kind of winning streak comes in. And look, Big 12 joiners, Cincinnati, I think they're able to get this thing done. Ole Miss at Alabama, I'll take Ole Miss plus 14.5. I think Matt Corral has a great showing. I think Bama wins this game. But if I'm Alabama fans, I'm afraid of Matt Corral because his willingness to sling it all over the place. Sure, he'll make some mistakes, but he is not afraid of any defense that he sees. Number 6 game on this list is number 10 Florida at Kentucky. Kentucky, 7.5 point dogs at home. I'll take Kentucky plus the points. This game always feels like it's close. So I'll take Kentucky plus 7.5. I think Florida ends up winning. Arizona State at UCLA. I believe this line, I forgot to write it down. I believe this line, the reason why I picked this game also is because this one could decide who wins the Pac-12 South. Now, both these teams have losses, but they could really play a major factor and potentially eventually, you know, a couple cracks at Oregon play. Spoiler, UCLA 3-point favorites. I think that's right. I'll take UCLA at home in that game. All right, everybody, enjoy the first weekend of October. Enjoy all of the games coming up. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Josh Neighbors _ for me, at LO Big 12 for the show. Make sure you follow us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and then also find us on YouTube as well. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.